Welcome to Catholic Link Podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. I am Father George Elliott, and I am joined today by Dr. Scott Heffelfinger. I know most of you are used to hearing Father Rob Adams' voice. Please pray for him and for his town. The town was one of the casualties of the flooding in Kentucky a few weeks ago. And so he said that he had to step back from the podcast in order to really just take care of his people and rebuild the town. And so he's doing awesome things. He's doing the holy priest thing. But that means that you all get me for the host. And so please be patient with me. I'm definitely rusty. It's been about 10 years since I've done this. And so if I'm stuttering or nervous, or if this takes way too long or way too short, it's totally my fault, but I'm learning and I will try to do better next time. So as I mentioned, we've got Dr. Scott here on with me. He is a professor at the Augustine Institute and the director of content development. He teaches in the areas of moral theology, marriage and family, and prayer. After studying music as an undergraduate, he then went on to do graduate work in theology, receiving a doctorate from the University of Notre Dame. Combining his academic training and his experience with art, traveling, missionary work, and the richness of family life, Dr. Heffelfinger helps to guide the development of the Augustine Institute's multimedia content across various platforms, including Formed, the Amen app, podcasts, and more. Dr. Scott, welcome. It's good to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Excellent. So hopefully when this podcast goes out, it will actually be on Ash Wednesday. And so, you know, Lent is approaching, and when people are listening, we will be beginning Lent. And so I think would be a fun way to start this off is, what are all the ways that you've seen someone approach Lent in a wrong way? Or I'm even thinking about it for myself of, what are the ways that I've approached Lent poorly? And so is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, no, that's a great approach. It's sort of like, I feel like as we think about Ash Wednesday, just mentioning that, you know, kind of determines there are two types of people in the world based on their reaction to that. You know, there are those people who are kind of like, all right, you know, get geared up and fired up for Lent. And then there are those who are kind of like, oh boy, you know, Both types, there's room for both types in the church. It's great.
I'm pretty sure I've been both as well, you know.
That's probably right. Yeah. Me too. But yeah, ways not to approach Lent. Well, I think the easiest way that comes to mind is to just ignore it, you know, like, We can sometimes hear about the church's liturgical rhythms and seasons, and maybe we don't appreciate it or think about it enough, but we just think, oh, it's, you know, the colors change and that's it or something. But that's really to miss out on a tremendous opportunity with any of the liturgical seasons. But I think a first, you know, misstep would be to just kind of ignore Lent or to not take it very seriously.
Yeah, they're like, this isn't a real thing, or, you know, it's not something that impacts my life in any way. Almost, is that what you? Right. It's like, yeah, yeah, no, that's good. I was thinking as well. I think I have been guilty a couple of times in my life of just totally not preparing. Like, you know, you get to like the Friday after Ash Wednesday, and you're like, oh man, I got to figure out what I'm doing for Lent. You know?
That's right.
You kind of get past it, and, you know, I don't know, it's just the busyness of life or whatever it may be that you get to this point where you're like, oh yeah, right, it's Lent.
Yeah, and I think it's an extra challenge in a way, because February is a shorter month, and you'd think like two or 3 days or whatever wouldn't make a huge difference, but somehow it does, and all of a sudden, you know, February's gone by, and, you know, the beginning of Lent can be end of February or into March, but in any event, it hits us really quickly, I think. And like you said, not preparing. I've definitely had that experience where I'm still sorting things out a few days after Lent begins and figuring out my commitments and all of that. So for sure, that's a real possibility.
That's good. Have you got anything else that comes to mind? Ways to not do Lent?
Yeah, I think the other, maybe kind of like an extreme opposite of this would be, I've had years where I've gotten really gung-ho about Lent. And that can kind of go in a couple of directions. One is that I overcommit, right? I take on this really heavy lift of fasting or some new prayer commitment. and then I just kind of burn out, you know, after a little while. And it's not that I don't want to, but it just becomes either too burdensome in itself, or maybe, you know, maybe it just, I've forgotten that I'm a family man now, and I can no longer like do a bachelor's Lent of crazy commitments, and I've got kids keeping me up and all this stuff. So that's one route. But then the other, I think, more spiritual way of doing that is we can think that Lent is kind of like all about us, or depends on my commitments, as though it's like this, it's this, you know, extreme sport or something. And I'm going to be competitive and I'm going to win. And that kind of leaves God.
It's the X Games of Catholicism, right?
Yeah.
No, that's really good. So like, what are some examples of that? The kind of over-competitiveness or extreme sport of Catholicism things. Like when you think of that, like what are some of those practices or thoughts or dispositions that a person has as they kind of come into Lent?
I mean, I guess I think if we come up with, I mean, we should come up with a plan. I mean, you kind of hit on that earlier, right? We do want to have a plan. That is important, right? But if we kind of invest too much in the plan, or overcomplicate it, or make it too weighty, I think sometimes that can actually lead to a kind of spiritual pride, you know, where we're kind of like, wow, you know, I'm taking on X, Y, and Z, but Bob, he's only doing A, you know, whatever it is. Right?
Oh, chocolate. You giving up chocolate? Amateur, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, then we'll find ways to kind of like, there's name dropping, and then there's Lenten practice dropping, where we're kind of like, oh yeah, sorry, I'm not in a great mood because, you know, I gave up coffee for Lent, you know, whatever it is.
That's right.
We want everyone to secretly know how heroic we are.
The coffee one, I always tell my spiritual directees, I'm like, you are not allowed to give up coffee because Lent is supposed to be penitential for you, not everybody else, right?
Exactly. That's right. And I mean, that's another, I think, thing that we probably want to avoid, which is, you know, the funny thing is we can do these things and we can forget about kind of that governing role of charity. You know, like, let's say I'm giving up coffee, or maybe I've decided to have some fairly burdensome fasting routine, and because of that, I'm just in a bad mood, you know. And in my case, just to take myself, my wife might, you know, come to me and let me know that she's suffering a little bit because I'm just not so pleasant to be around. Well, you know, it's not a glorious thing if I've taken on this commitment that, like you said, is sort of burdening everybody else, right? Or causing them to suffer. Or in my vocation, you know, maybe I'm really impatient with my kids in the morning because I didn't have a cup of coffee or whatever it might be. So we can forget charity, I think, as we come into the Lenten season sometimes.
Yeah. I think kind of connected to that, sometimes it's just like almost a kind of phoning it in which we just don't approach it as a truly spiritual practice, kind of like, oh yeah, it's Lent, this is important, I should do the Lent thing. But it's more this kind of like, all right, yeah, I'm going to do that. I guess perhaps the most extreme version of it is when people are like, well, what are you going to do for Lent? Like, oh, well, I think I'm going to go on a diet because I need to lose some weight. It's like, look, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you're losing weight and going on a diet. But I feel like Lent is supposed to be about coming closer to Christ, you know? It's not about your waist size, right? It's about your your relationship with him. Which I think it is very easy to fall into, especially when you kind of feel comfortable about your spiritual life. Then it's like, I don't know that I really need to grow closer to Christ. And so I'll just make Lent about something else, which seems to miss it.
Well, I was going to say, I think maybe this is a little bit similar to that, but it's also important, I think, not to forget about Easter. You know, Lent shouldn't become so dour or, you know, kind of serious or even sad and penitential that we lose sight that Christ has the victory. You know, now, obviously, we don't want to like anticipate that too much or you know, that's why there are certain changes in the liturgy, right? Not saying the Alleluia and leaving out the Gloria and, you know, all these all these things, that those are all right and good, and they teach us something. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that Christ has conquered death, you know, and we still remain, you know, so to speak, a people of the resurrection. And what I think that practically means is, you know, it's a little bit like we hear in the readings for Ash Wednesday. We don't want to put ashes on our forehead and then just be downcast or something. Like, we want to be joyful in this season because it is a season of preparation for really the most remarkable event in the history of the world, you know, and the greatest victory. So to live out a penitential season with an attitude of joy, I mean, there's a real paradox there, but I think we want to, you know, try to embrace that when we approach Lent.
Yeah, definitely. It just reminds me of a close relationship with one of the Benedictine monasteries over in Italy. And, you know, these guys, they fast hardcore. I mean, they follow the rule of Saint Benedict to a T. They are very penitential human beings, but they're also some of the most joyful guys that I've ever met. That, you know, I mean, when they need to be serious, they're serious, but also they're kind of like children, you know, and like in the most beautiful, spiritual way, that they're joyful and fun and great people to be around, that they live that kind of pouring out of oneself in penance in order to be filled with Christ.
Yeah, I think I know the community. Are these the monks of Norcia, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I celebrated an incredible end of Lent with them 1 year. And yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And that childlikeness, that that joy, it's a really good example that you bring up. Just, we want to be able to live that. And I think, I mean, one thing that I think about there is, you know, how to bring that spirit of joy into Lent is to remember that these penitential practices that we take on, or extra prayer, these are really all for the sake of making room for Christ and allowing him into our hearts, you know, and that is the joy of our hearts, or at least we want it to be, and it should be. So I think that is ideally, you know, the source of our joy, even in the midst of a penitential season.
That's good. And so I think that's a good transition point of, all right, so if that is not how to approach Lent, what are some kind of key elements or dispositions that we should have coming into Lent? How do we Lent well?
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this because we have a couple of Lenten offerings here at the Augustine Institute that I think are fantastic. And one of the joys of working on these is that it gives me an opportunity to think about these things and to put them into practice in my own life. And so to do Lent well, I think it's the flip side of a lot of the things we talked about. You know, one of the beginning points, I think, is to appreciate the incredible opportunity of the season. You know, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that it's going to go as we plan, because it's God who has the plan. But once we appreciate the tremendous opportunity and value of the season, it makes us want to prepare for it, right? To prepare for this special encounter with Christ in the desert. So it's great. You know, I think when Ash Wednesday rolls around, and maybe even before that, you know, it's fantastic to already begin thinking about what is it that God might be asking of me so that I can encounter him even more in this remarkable season of Lent. So those are a couple of, I think, important lines of approach right there.
No, that's good. Yeah. Just that whole concept of kind of entering into the suffering with joyful hope. It calls to mind for me the image of that Paul uses a couple times of, you know, that creation is, it, you know, having labor pains, that it's almost, you know, the mother who is entering into labor knows that, okay, this is going to be difficult, this is going to be painful, but also, you know, she's been looking forward to it for at least 9 months, you know, and just can't wait to hold the child in her arms, right? To have that new life. And I really do think that's a very Christian image. I don't know, this is, all right, now we're totally off topic, but there's an interesting phenomenon happening in Catholic world where a lot of people are starting to do home births. Have you guys done that, or do you know anybody who's tried that out?
Yeah, we've done 3 home births.
All right, yeah. So you guys definitely know what I'm talking about there. You know, obviously, you know, modern medicine and what we've been able to do, the lives we've been able to save with kind of the hospital systems and modern medicine and all of those things, that's absolutely phenomenal. But that births have become something that happen kind of outside of the experience of normal life, right? Like you have to go to a separate institution into a separate ward in which you do these things and, you know, you do it in this kind of sterile room and then, you know, then everybody gets to see it. It almost kind of takes away that, that experience, really that image from us as human beings. But I think, so much of Christianity is kind of wrapped up in that concept of, you know, no, like sometimes the best stuff only comes from the most difficult, and painful experiences. And like, that's, I mean, that's the cross coming from the resurrection. That's Lent leading into Easter. That's, you know, all of the same things. No, that's excellent.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that I find helpful there is, because I think you're totally right. And sometimes we can get thrown off by the pain or the suffering and we fixate on that. And it's very understandable. I think it's helpful to keep in mind that the idea of working through pain is actually very common. And you mentioned maybe the premier example, which is birthing a child. But, you know, kind of a more mundane or even ordinary example would be exercising. You know, few mm-hmm. people enjoy the sort of like hardship of conditioning, or if you're lifting weights and doing reps, it is not fun like on that last rep. But, and it's not fun when you're super sore the next day, but you do know that there's this greater good, primarily health, right? And so to have that frame of mind, I think can kind of launch us into the season of Lent, maybe where we know there are going to be challenges. But we also know that with God, those challenges will bear tremendous fruit in our lives, in our spiritual lives, primarily.
That's excellent. So you mentioned earlier that the Augustine Institute has put together some things for Lent. Can you just kind of tell us about those programs, maybe how you guys are seeing this as a particular tool to help people to Lent well, and then also where they can find it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, the first, so we have a kind of trio of offerings. There are three wonderful little things we've put together. We're really excited about. The first one is called How to Lent, and it's kind of a shorter four-part video series that just tries to kind of take folks by the hand and in an engaging way help them to prepare for Lent, to make a plan, to kind of build that anticipation without overdoing it, you know. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great to just talk about what Lent is, the kind of scriptural and historical background to Lent? But then also, one of the special things is we found a few wonderful spiritual directors, priests and religious, to just kind of give tips and guidance on how to think about Lent, and especially how to think about these three traditional pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And then what kind of commitments might the Lord be asking me to make? So that's the first video series. And then tied with that is a little mini journal kind of booklet that we put together that gives folks a place to write down these commitments, to think through them, to remind themselves of their meditation, to journal a little bit, to foster conversation with others and with God. So that kind of accompanies that first video series. And it accompanies the second video series, which is meant for the season of Lent. Because if we prepare for Lent and we kind of get back to basics, clear out a little extra space in our lives for prayer, through fasting, through almsgiving, the idea is to fill that up with Christ. And so this second video series is an 8-part one. It has an interesting title. It's called Foretold: Finding Hope in God's Providence. And the idea is that with so much going on in the world, we can lose a sense that God is the author of our lives, that He is in control. He's writing the story. He's inviting us to join Him in the writing of the story. And there's a great peace that that brings about. So this is actually a Bible study that's meant to present to us Christ as the Lord of history based on prophecies and fulfillments that we see in Scripture. So again, a preparatory series called How to Lent, a kind of Lenten series called Foretold, then linking them and fostering reflection and group discussion and things is this mini journal called Coming to Christ that we've made. And if folks are interested in checking that out, the easiest way to see it all kind of tied together is going to daily.formed.org/Lent. And you can sign up, have it conveniently delivered to your email inbox, kind of reminders and the videos and things. And so we're pretty thrilled. I think it's a great way to, you know, we talked about how not to go through Lent and some of the ways to approach it. And we've tried to kind of distill some of this in these two video series and in this mini journal that accompanies them.
Excellent. Well, thanks for putting all that together. And thanks for all your work and everybody at the Augustine Institute. It really is one of those great institutes in American Catholicism that's really pushing things forward and just helping advance the mission of Christ in the world. So you guys are awesome. I know this is coming out Ash Wednesday. So if any of you are like I have been a few years where you've not really pinned down anything to do yet, definitely check out How to Lent. But it sounds like there's a really good reflection on just kind of the interior aspects of how to approach Lent well. And so even though it's already Ash Wednesday, go ahead and check that out. Then the booklet, can they get that on Amazon, or what's the best way to pick that up?
The booklet is on Catholic.market where we sell it, and parishes can buy it in bulk there too. But again, that daily.form.org/Lent, you got links to all the relevant places there for each of these offerings.
Good. Yeah. So you can still pick that up. You might start a little bit late. It'll be fine. But also, foretold, that sounds outstanding. Just a good way to enter into the scriptures and the whole history of salvation. So that's very good. I guess we'll wrap up now. This has been the Catholic Link podcast. I'm Father George Elliott. I was joined by Dr. Scott Heffelfinger. And we were talking about essentially the How to Lent and the different offerings by the Augustine Institute. You can check out more at the website listed earlier. I'll let you just go back so that I don't get that wrong. Or you can go also to catholic-link.org to check out more outstanding Catholic resources. Thanks so much, and God bless.